24/7, 365, certified Luke Curtis is a vibe, and you are listening to the OVW Podcast.
Welcome to the OVW Podcast, the unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling. My name is Tiny Brian, and I am here as just this once.
Just this once?
Well, maybe not just this once, but for the first time in this setting with my good friend Victor Anderson. Victor, how are you today, sir?
Hello, good people.
So we are not your normal podcast team.
We are not.
We are here, but we are here for a very specific purpose. OVW, in their quest to have more stuff going on, has taken what was once the pre-show, what was once just a bunch of dark matches, and have started repackaging them into Overdrive.
Overdrive.
Which premieres Tuesday evenings on YouTube. If you've not seen it, this is your one shot that we're going to spoil everything that happens in it. So stop now and go watch, and we'll be here. Okay, welcome back. First thing I want to talk about with Overdrive, Victor, is just look at this. Look at this. This is it's according to their own title, it's season 3, episode 73. So I've seen some clips of Kennison and Stevie J doing weird things on the internet. Mm-hmm. Apparently, all of those come from here.
It's considered Overdrive. Yeah. I guess it's. Okay.
So they've done this before. I'm not sure why they stopped, but now they're back, and we're happy for it.
Good. We come in with Kennison.
Yeah, we come in with Kennison standing in the middle of the empty Davis Arena, just sort of talking through. Now, he talks about this episode is picking up on a thread that apparently happened where Stevie J married Al Snow's mom.
Oh, really?
That was the reason why he was doing the whole trip through Europe and why Al Snow kind of sold him into bondage.
So Stevie J doesn't fear for his life?
Well, I mean, we'll talk about what happened to Stevie J at the end of this episode. Yeah, that's the notion.
That's the main boss's mom. Yeah,
we all know that Al Snow does enjoy a your mom joke.
He does.
If you want to get really drunk, listen to our full interview of Al Snow and drink every time he makes a your mama joke.
Sure, but this is Al's mommy, though.
Yeah, and that was so late last year, after the Christmas chaos, Maven and a bunch of people, a bunch of wrestlers all got together there in Louisville.
Maven? You mean the Tough Enough winner?
I mean the Tough Enough winner.
That's weird.
No, Al was his coach during Tough Enough.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay.
So they all got together and they did basically a roast of Al Snow.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and that's the finale of that roast was Stevie J marrying Al Snow's mom.
I see.
And she was in on the joke.
Fun. Okay.
So, but apparently they are still punishing them here on Overdrive.
Okay.
Kennison tells the story that Al Snow sold him into an Austrian fighting ring. And why he had to make his way back across Europe.
Basically like indentured servitude.
I guess. Okay. It's a very troubling story if you really listen to it. They abuse Brian Kennison in this organization quite a bit.
Just a little bit.
I feel for the man, really. Mean,
he doesn't even get time with his kid.
No, he cries on golf courses. It's really...
People got to play golf. Somebody has to.
Somebody has to. I'm not going to. Somebody has to.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, he cuts to, and then we cut back to Thursday, and I was actually here for these matches on Thursday.
Okay.
Was sitting literally right by the scorer's table. A little recap of, they also do some other stuff, but let's get into this first match, which is ZDP and Maximo Suave, both friends of the show. ZDP is, more of a predator of the show.
Well, he got me.
He got you. He almost got the host.
I'm
glad to find. Oh, by the way, we're glad to have you back.
Right. I'm still healing up a little bit. I took a little nasty fall, as everybody saw, but I made it through it. Just got a skinned elbow, and I managed. But that was scary, though. People ask me, it's like, did you mean to fall? I'm like, well, what the hell do you do when a zombie gets after you? You run. You run.
And you just can't help it.
Run.
I'm just glad he didn't get after me because he would have caught me in like two steps. The man's fast and I am not.
And here he goes chasing after that good guy. Yeah. Look, Eric called him too. Took his shoe.
Took his shoe off. Eric Cornish loses his shoe at one point.
Oh, then Eric goes crawling. That's hilarious.
And fortunately, Maximo does save him and toss him back into the ring. Great match here, technically speaking.
It is. They're a good matchup too.
Yeah, you can tell they've done this quite a bit. They were part of the six-man match at Lexington that we saw.
Correct.
And I think we saw some of these same spots, or at least versions of these spots
that,
there.
That modified pile driver that Maximo does mm-hmm. is badass. And I like how you changed the variation of it because shorter guys have a hard time pulling that maneuver off because, mm-hmm. you know, you'll break somebody's neck.
Right.
But that's nice how he did that. And it looks good. And it looks like he killed the zombie.
Always love to see Maximo. Glad to see him here kicking off this episode of Overdrive.
Jackman's best friend.
Jackman's close personal best friend.
That's right.
I'm pretty fond of him myself. He's pretty much a friend of the show.
He is.
And so, you know, he talks about so Braun's story gets more ridiculous as time goes by. First, he tunneled his way out of the Austrian fighting ring. Then he gets to France and starts working in a bakery and marries a girl and has kids.
I'm glad you cleared that up because I could not figure out. I was like, what are you talking about?
Apparently, Overdrive is just in an alternate reality. Okay. That seems to be what's going on here. It's a completely separate world where weird things happen.
I like Kennison, I'll do respect, but he had a hard time digging his way out of a fruitcake.
Okay, easy. They're hard enough on Kennison. We don't have to pile on.
No, I'm just kidding, Brian. If you hear this, I'm just playing.
So then they do spend some time going through the with some footage of the Lexington show and the Indianapolis show.
Yeah.
And the Tailspin Ale Fest, which every time I hear, I want to call the Tailspin Ale Fest, which is not what it is at all.
What is it?
It's the Tailspin Ale Fest. Tailspin Ale.
See?
Easy for me to say. Tailspin Ale is the name of the product. Ale. Yes. Like a,
I know. Alcoholic beverage.
Yes. And then they have a fest.
Yes.
So it's the Tailspin Ale Fest.
Ale, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an ale fest. It's a Tailspin ale
fest. I like the footage they got from that, from them being outside with like the storm in the background. That looks pretty cool. Yeah.
There is a certain picture of official Daniel Spencer
mm-hmm.
who is standing there slotted against the storm, kind of pointing authoritatively. You may see me do a movie poster of that because I just feel like
You got to make sure you get lightning come out of his fingertip, though.
Oh, yeah. No, let's not get that man's ego swelled anymore. He already takes 10 minutes to count to three as it is.
He already can't fit in the Davis Arena. Come on.
So, yeah, and the Tailspin did look really fun, the outdoor show. Looking forward to some more outdoor wrestling as the temperatures sure warm up, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Well, we got to go to the Country Boy Show. I'm sure they'll be doing that.
I'm sure that'll be sooner rather than later.
Next 6 weeks or so, I'd say.
Yep.
So let's move on to the next match.
We do have it up here on YouTube. Brian Hines is usually the video guy who has the matches up for him and Jackman to discuss.
Yeah.
Turns out there's more skill to that than I realized. So bout two here of Overdrive is a three-way match between Justice Davis, who I had never seen before.
Nope.
KT Dunn, who I had also never seen before.
It's Dunn and not Dunn?
Dunn. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
It's spelled the same, but I think you're right. It's pronounced
Dunn.
Dunn.
Okay.
And then AJ Vest, who the man who dresses like his name.
Instead of Cumberbund,
okay. Yeah. He's so 90s-tastic with that coat with the long tail. It's like,
well, we need to have a grunge guy when we have the 80s baby.
I guess. Well, the 80s baby's nowhere near this.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, you got an 80s guy, you have a 90s guy.
So this is the classic dark match, at least it seems to me, the classic dark match.
Yep.
See who gets over, see who can actually perform in front of the cameras and the audience. Because Vest is our only real known quantity
and
here.
And it's a triple threat, which is probably my favorite match. I like a good triple threat.
Well, the good thing about triple threat is that the rhythm is pretty steady.
It
is. There's never a moment where everybody's laying on the side of the ring like, right. No.
Yeah. It's a good format to me. I like it. So AJ Vest does kind of come out the victor in this match. And there you go.
Sponsored by Victor. Oh. Yes, we just saw him get the pin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's the only one we actually know, so that makes sense to me. That they would be putting him over. Does feel like he is in that wave sort of behind folks like Will Austin and Orion, like the next level. I wouldn't
put him on that level.
Yet. No, he's behind them specifically.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe he will grow up into the kind of performer like them. And,
he's definitely got potential.
Yeah,
he does.
I'm not a fan of the gimmick. Maybe he'll do something to improve that at some point.
I want to call him like AJ Bowtie or something, or AJ like suit jacket.
Just whatever. Just Spats. His name is AJ Spats.
Oh, AJ Cufflinks.
Cufflinks.
That's a good one. But anyway.
And he comes out with ridiculous, like a tuxedo shirt with these enormous cufflinks every week.
Maybe Carson Drake could do that.
Oh, that he would make a pretty good Carson Drake, like, follower.
Oh, like a little...
Yeah, he needs him a little sidekick.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So, yeah, that would be fun. And when we come back after that second match, we take a moment and we spend some time with... the veteran Jack Vaughn.
One of my favorites.
Yep, one of our favorites, friend of the show. Watch for his interview to show up in the next couple of weeks in our feed. Was kind enough to come the day of the Manchester show here and talk to the podcast broadcast team.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to that. And basically recapping the situation on Rise, where we've got the... And if you're listening to this, basically as soon as we release it, it's still before Rise, where we will see Tony Gunn face... we'll see Tony Gunn face Luke Curtis. Certified Luke Curtis for the number one, for the heavyweight championship, number one contendership, which I assume we will see that play out at March Mayhem.
Yes, but they are going to wrestle Thursday.
Yes, they are wrestling Thursday. There's also, as long as we're talking about it, there's a mixed tag match that I'm pretty excited about.
I saw that. Who was the contestants again?
It's Haley and Cal Hero versus Tiffany and probably Tony Evans.
Maybe. Yeah, it was Tony Evans.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
That's interesting. Who can talk the loudest?
And is there
any... Tiffany, I'm just kidding.
I was thinking of Haley, but...
I was going to say, I know, Tiffany's the princess, and now to get this right.
Tony Evans is not going to hush Tiffany. She's his tag partner.
I know. Just saying.
So, but you know, and Jack does the thing that you would expect. They talk about his thigh slapping internet memes, and Jack's like, well, you know, I know it's all funny, but there's really biting social commentary under there about how there's no real professional wrestlers anymore. And
well, there's
I have a large, impressive mustache.
As he said, he's not an indie wrestler. He is a professional. He is the veteran, and you know what? He looks that part.
I'm now noticing his eyeglasses as we're watching them talk.
You know, my favorite thing, speaking of his eyeglasses, is that when he walks out into the tunnel, then he puts his glasses on. That's just one of my favorite things.
I want to see you guys better. But, no, I love his whole get up with the towel around, with the towel tucked in around his neck.
Yeah. And the jacket.
The varsity. Yeah, we have his picture with his varsity jacket laid over the ring here in the studio up on our wall of fame. So... So, yeah, Jack, pretty much the standard interview. Definitely go watch it if you've not.
I look forward to any program that he runs or a program he runs with any wrestler. As long as it involves Jack Vaughn, it'll be solid.
Well, yeah, he's just delightful man to sit and just talk to, as Brian and Jackman figured out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go ahead and move ahead to our main event for OVW Overdrive 70, Season 3, Episode 73. That is way more complicated than just having one number.
There's the man right there.
And two friends of the show who come to face each other, Star Rider and Certified Luke Curtis.
Yep.
I love his when he does the lean with the, here I am.
Yeah. It's almost like Randy Orton's, but not a little bit more flamboyant, I would say.
Yeah, he that's what's always been great about him is how, yeah, he's so... I'm kind of glad to have him on his own because there was a limit to how kind of flamboyant he could be as an overman or even a faction member because.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was already outshining them in the ring. He didn't need to outshine them with his gimmick, too.
No. He did. That's why we took him away from it.
Any gimmick beats, you know, Human Thumb and Gnome Baby. So
That is true. So, one thing that I was thinking as I was watching this match is, like I said, the podcast broadcast team has talked to both of these people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the room for both these conversations, and both of these people in those conversations talked about the other. Mm-hmm. Like when Star Rider was here, he talked at length about his program with Luke Curtis last mm-hmm. summer, and how Luke ended up putting a mask on, and you know it was a whole complicated situation. And Luke mentioned it as well, even though that was months earlier. Star Rider came up, so these two long history, and it absolutely shows
a lot of mutual respect there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At this point, kind of a face versus face, because when they were doing this the first time, it was very much, Luke was the heel. He was doing all the things just to mess with Star Rider in every way you can think of. But now they're just, two competitors just going at it.
Yep.
And with the official there keeping things in order, Daniel Spencer.
He can't count very fast, though.
That's what I hear. That seems to be the rumor, that three is hard for him to find.
That's what the colonel told me, and I trust the colonel.
He has 11 herbs and spices.
No. Well, no, he comes to the Davis Arena, and he tells you about what's going on with the matches and why people are booing him.
Yeah, the Davis Arena crowd, if for those of you who only kind of watch at home or on the internet, they boo Daniel quite a bit.
They boo him a lot. Like not as much as Shannon, but a lot.
Yeah, Shannon. Yeah, we kid Daniel here a lot.
We do.
Official, unofficial, whatever. But he's. I don't get it. I've never gotten it. He doesn't seem to be the heel ref that I would expect to get a lot of boos. He just kind of stands up there and plays rock paper scissors with the kids.
With the kids,
and with me occasionally. I think we're at a 1-1 lifetime rock paper scissors record. So I'm coming for you, Daniel.
So anyway, they deliver a solid match here, as you would expect.
And, it was awesome to see. And in fact, if you're watching the match, there was still a few enough people that towards the end you could actually hear me. I think I'm yelling for Star Rider.
Oh, okay.
Although I yelled for both of them throughout this match because I like both these guys. But great match. Luke does come away with the win because he is the one who is on program, so to speak. He's got to go have that number one contenders match.
He's getting a run.
Yes, he's getting a run. That mm-hmm. is certain.
And I'm glad to see it. I hope that I think Luke Curtis can go OVW, NWA, whatever, and beyond. I think he's that good, and he's got the look. So I'm excited to see him do it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch the next few years.
Yeah.
So, yes, Luke Curtis does get the win in the main event, I guess, of Overdrive.
Yeah, that was the final match. I would call that a main event.
I would call it a main event. Brian finishes up his story about how he finally got home thanks to OVW sponsors the unit. They smuggled him home from Britain after he became sort of a punk rock star.
Good to have friends with money, I guess.
And there was some conversation about his wife and his French wife trying to get all that to play together.
Okay.
He says he may move to Utah. Hopefully we sort this out.
I was
going to
say he's building a harem, I see.
I guess. Damn,
Kennison, I had you a little underestimated you a little bit.
I guess we underestimated
him. Let's not send him to Russia. Shoot.
No
kidding. Or Asia. Oh, my gosh.
Austria. That's in Europe.
I know, but
that's where Arnold Schwarzenegger's from.
Okay.
Okay.
But you said he had a French wife, and I'm just saying.
He escaped from Austria to France.
Oh, okay, I got you. But if you send him to another country, I mean, he's just a chick magnet, apparently.
Apparently. So the last scene of Overdrive, we've been wondering, Brian has been looking for Stevie all episode, saying he's not there, I don't know what happened to him. Well, we do find Stevie at the very last of this episode, and he is apparently somewhere by the sea.
It looks like the ocean is behind him there, yes.
Yeah, but he's just, he doesn't know where he is. He says that marrying Al Snow's mom was all worth it, and that he's in love and would do it again.
Okay.
So I guess, here we go. There's a big boat there.
There he
Stevie
is.
Stevie is in a sleeveless and a sideless shirt, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
It's basically a tunic. But
no, there's a name for that. I just don't. I'm not cool enough to know what it is.
No, I'm not. I'm certainly not built enough to wear it. So, all right, but yeah, that was our first look at Overdrive. It's a different show, mm-hmm. to be sure. Very different from Rise. Again, it was Linda Kay and the East End villain Josh Ashcraft,
yes,
who were the commentators for that. In fact, they were the commentators for Rise this week as well, because Kennison was under the weather or escaping Europe or whatever. Something was going on.
Well, no, he was under the weather, I think.
He was.
Shannon's been under the weather this week, too.
So yeah, they apparently passed it around the locker room.
Passing it around, yeah. So.
All right. Well, anything else you want to add for our inaugural Overdrive coverage?
This was fun, and I think we probably went longer than we intended to, but that's okay.
That's fine. If you're still here, thank you.
Yep.
The OVW podcast, the unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling, is produced by me, Tiny Brian Woodard. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to try to do it all from memory. We are the 10th Carney Award nominated. Who knows if that's ever going to happen, but we certainly hope it will.
Got a nomination.
We did get a nomination. We can announce that forever. The OVW podcast broadcast team is Brian Hines and Jack Minotes, and hopefully they will come back and do this again very soon. Our production engineer and studio engineer is Malachi P.S. Woodard. Mm-hmm. Senior producer for The Blimp is Victor Anderson. I'm your executive producer. You can follow us on all the social media channels, TikTok, X, Facebook,
Instagram.
Threads. I've even started posting to Threads.
X.
We are at OVW Podcast on all of those social channels. Feel free to come give us a follow, TikTok, all of them. And come follow us next time we're at Davis Arena. Have a good day.